Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor,
Tor. Hello and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast with me, Matthew Karagic. Today we are going to take a look at all the action from match day 14, preview match day 15, and also, of course, answer your fan questions that you have for us today. Joining me on today's program is none other than Fürth fan Danny. Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Great to be here again after a little time. Looking forward to having some entertaining hour.
It is great to have you on, Danny. And we'll start with our weekly topic question. This week we asked you, the Zweite Bundesliga is undoubtedly a rich goal-scoring league. Whilst the strikers get all the plaudits, we are turning our attention to those who keep them out. We wanted to know, who do you believe has been the best goalkeeper this season? Our choices were Hamburg's Julian Pollersbeck, St. Pauli's Robin Himmelmann, and Greuther Fürth's Sascha Boichert. And a very good response to the poll, with 47% picking St. Pauli's Robin Himmelmann. We also had suggestions of FC Köln's Timo Horn, as well as Darmstadt's Daniel Hoyer Fernandes. Daniel, I'll ask you, who do you think is the best goalkeeper this season in the Zweite Bundesliga?
That's a tough question. On that poll, of course, I voted for Sascha Boichert because, you know, that's my keeper. But I think who doesn't get the attention he may deserve is Rafał Gikiewicz from Union Berlin. I mean, like, they have the best defense in the league. They haven't lost a game anytime now. And he scored already a goal. He's got 6 clean sheets, I think. And that's a pretty impressive job. But if it comes to individual quality, I think it indeed has to be Timo Horn. Because, you know, he's a really, really good keeper. And that would be, you know, my choice of just the individual quality. But if you get the context, I would indeed say Rafał Gikiewicz and his defense are the best, I think, now.
Yeah, I think in terms of overall quality, you would say Timo Horn is the best in that regard. But I agree with the poll. I mean, I think Robin Himmelmann has played some excellent games for St. Pauli, and even in their game on the weekend against Jahn Regensburg, he was a wall consistently, and you know, it took something special to beat him. And I think if you look at the way he's played this season, he has, on performances, he's been the best goalkeeper for mine. It might not showcase it in clean sheets, but you look at just the way he's able to, you know, command the defense and keep it nice and tight. I think he does a very good job indeed. We have our goal of the week poll, and it's a runaway winner with Tommy Weiland's game-winning goal against Erzgebirge Aue, winning 64% of the votes. Our other options were Joshua Mee's opening goal against Hamburg, Felix Lohkamper's goal versus Fürth, and Sean Parker's free kick against Magdeburg. Any of those four that catch the eye for you, Danny?
I'm again a bit biased. Not for Parker, you could be surprised, but for Tommy Weiland against Aue, because I was in the stands at the game, and it was a pretty even match, or not even, but close match the whole game. And Bochum pushed the goal for like an hour, and then scoring that extraordinary goal in 90+3 is just the kind of magic that we all fell in love in our league. So I think that's a fair win and a well-deserved win. But I think Felix Lohkemper's goal is a bit underpresented with just 8%, because that was some great individual skills, to be fair, even if it's against my team.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Lohkemper's goal, considering the time of the game, you know, the game's just become 1-1, and his individual brilliance to beat Sasha Butchert, and you almost felt as if that Magdeburg were going to go on their way to take the 3 points, but it wasn't to be. That is all for the first part of this podcast. Stay tuned. We will begin our Group 1 games for the Matchday 14 review.
Zu überbrücken. Jatta. Grimmel. Jatta! Tor! Lewis Holtby, der HSV!
Yes, and we start that Matchday 14 review in Hamburg. It was the top Spieler, the Monday night fixture, and it was an absolute belter with Union and Hamburg playing a 2-2 draw under the lights of the Volkspark Stadion. It was an interesting game. Union taking the lead through Joshua Mies on 12 minutes. And then in the second half, it lit up with Aaron Hunt and Lewis Holtby putting Hamburg ahead. But it would be an ex-Braunschweig player in Suleiman Abdullahi scoring on the stroke of the 90 to give the Union fans a excellent parting gift from their long travel from Berlin. Danny, how did you see this game? It was quite open for most periods of the game, and I think, you know, if you're an Union fan, you'd be quite happy with the result.
To be honest, I've had not the opportunity to see it. I just saw it on the ticker because, ironically, if you think about Suleiman Abdullahi winning the game as an ex-Braunschweiger, I was at Munster watching the Braunschweig game. So, I've seen the highlights, and I mean, like, maybe Union in the end were a bit lucky to grab a point there, but I think that first goal, which was pretty cool, and then when you don't make that 3-1 goal, and then you always get some goal against Union, that always can happen. I mean, like, if you have seen how they scored 4 against Fürth, for example, and how they got a quality up front, and it's always good to have an unbeaten run, and I'm pretty happy for them to keep that up, and so I think it's a good outcome, although Hamburg is in all stats and with the highlights were a better team.
Yes, and you talk about that opportunity to go 3-1 up. Hwang Hee-chan would have put the game to bed, and then of course from that pursuing play, Abdullahi scores the equalising goal. It means that Hamburg only remain a point atop of the table from FC Köln, and Union jump St. Pauli into third place. We saw the two goals from Hamburg. They came from defensive errors, Ken Reichel and Christopher Trimmel giving the ball away in dangerous areas. The goals were lucky for Hamburg. They played some really good football. I think the revolution under Hannes Wolf has been quite positive. And you know, I think if they can get a, you know, a comfortable number 9, they're going to miss Pierre-Michel Lasogga for a few weeks. If Hwang Hee-chan can cement that, then you'd sense that Hamburg are going to go on their way and seek that promotion. We make the long journey south to Bavaria as we have a look at Jan Regensburg against St. Pauli. It was a 1-1 draw. Hank Vermaan continued his good run of form. He scored in the 39th minute. And then Jan piled a ton of pressure before Sebastian Sulzer scored in the 87th minute. It's an interesting result for St. Pauli, but I think Jan, on the balance of play, should have won this game.
Of course. I mean, like, that's some kind of quality for St. Pauli going into the season and not losing such games, but that was pretty good job by Regensburg, looking just at the quality of their game and how they put on the pressure. But I think, like, you should win those games. And anyway, it was a really entertaining match, surprisingly, because I thought it could be some kind of dull playing and boring, but in the end it was an interesting match, and yeah, incredible. I mean, like, I've seen the stats. They have, I think, just short of 13 shots, Regensburg, and then just scored that one goal But so maybe they need a 9 too.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the game itself, I mean, you know, Regensburg had the chances, especially when they went a goal down. They really turned it on. And it did take a parry into the back of the net from Robin Hibbelman to give Sebastian Stolzer the equalising goal. You know, their home form has been surprisingly a bit down from last season. Regensburg have got most of their points away from home this season. I think if you're saying Pauli, you take the point. It's a very good point against a very good team. They've shown good grit and determination, but they just couldn't hold on till the end. And our final Group 1 game, we head to Darmstadt. It was a comprehensive second half display by Köln to get a 3-0 victory. Simon Terodde added to his endless goal tally. He has 17 goals this season from 14 appearances. Rafael Chicos tapped in on the 66th minute. And then Jean Cordoba rounding out the three-goal haul to give Köln another 3 points. Danny, it was probably more to say that even though Köln were poor in stretches, they did enough to beat in what was effectively a very, very disappointing Darmstadt outfit.
Yeah, I think in the recent weeks they've turned into the side you could have imagined before the season, with their individual quality, with the strength of their squad. When they have that little feeling of even a poor match they can win clearly. It may be not the most popular thing to say, but that's a little Bayern Munich feeling for the last seasons. When they've won matches, they played very poorly, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, like, winning 3-0 at Darmstadt is not a daytime job everyone can do. And, like, they've now found the form to really march on and maybe get that promotion really, really soon.
Yeah, they're in great position, just like Hamburg. They've got that gap between Union, St. Pauli, Furt and Borkum. And you know, you add also Anthony Modeste, who, you know, is a chance to play in the coming weeks. And they've really got a luxury of just high-quality talent. They're a very hard team to beat. I think they're a lot harder to beat away from home, as it's been shown this season. And I guess we'll find out on the weekend whether, and later on in the program, if Furt have a case to make to beat Köln. We'll just take a quick break. We'll head into our Group 2 games. We'll start off with Arminia Bielefeld versus MSV Duisburg. Games in the Zweite Bundesliga, a 1-0 defeat to Duisburg, an 82-minute goal from Ahmet Engin, enough to see the Zebras take another win in Bielefeld. It is their third consecutive in all competitions and the third time they've kept a clean sheet at the Schuko Arena in the past year. Danny, I'll go to you on this one. It's another defeat for Bielefeld. Is there any saving for Jeff Sabina? Is he on borrowed time? Or do you think he's still the man to lead them going forward?
To be honest, I'm not quite sure right now, because when I've seen them in the Schuko Arena against Fürth, they were pretty good until they've collapsed. But maybe that's the point. He's a good coach, I think. Not a problem. You've seen the last year what he can do, but sadly, maybe there's some point and some time in football and in football seasons when even a good coach just doesn't work out anymore, and maybe a good coach isn't a good coach for a crisis, and they're most definitely in a crisis right now. I mean, I've not seen that much of the game because Fürth played this, simultaneously, but what I've heard was a really, really bad match. And I think, who do you want to win against at home, if not Duisburg? I mean, like, of course they've won there at the Cup, but they're not that much of a good side. And I think, like, maybe if they don't get to win anytime soon, they should get a new coach for the second half of the year, maybe, because what you could see what sticking to your coach, if, even if it's not working out in Braunschweig last year, and maybe they should do better.
Yeah, it's one of those things you saw in the ground. You know, the Bielefeld fans, you know, are sticking loyal to Sabina. They really think he is the man going forward, and you know, he is trying to make things happen. They played a three at the back with Cedric Brunner moving into a central defensive role, and it worked for 75 minutes. They were, you know, they were able to create chances going forward, and they weren't too bad defensively. And then yeah, it all fell apart. Stefan Selger's mistimed attempt at a tackle, leading to the goal for Duisburg, and yeah, it's really looking bleak for a team that a lot of us, you know, felt were going to be close to challenging this season. And yeah, you just wonder where they're going to go to from here. And from Bielefeld, we make the journey to Saxony. Dynamo Dresden taking a 2-0 victory over Ingolstadt, condemning Ingolstadt to the bottom of the table once more. It was a former Ingolstadt player, Patrick Ebert, who opened the scoring after Phil Neumann fouled Moussa Kone in the box. He was given a straight red, and Patrick Ebert converting from the spot, and then Moussa Kone on 16 minutes, making it 2, and some very sweet revenge for Mike Valpurgis, who of course was the manager at the start of last season for Ingolstadt. It was also with the news that Alexander Nuri has been released as manager after only 8 games in charge. His assistant Marcus Feldhoff is in charge until now, although Sky are reporting that Jens Keller is the favourite to take the job. We'll probably skip over Ingolstadt for a little bit. We'll talk about Dresden. It's an important win for them. You know, they're breaking that spell. How have you seen Dresden this season, and do you think that they can make a run after this victory?
I think they have a pretty decent side. I mean, like, until now, maybe they were the definition of a midfield team. Like, not that much good, not that much bad, just decent. But I think now what I've seen from Valpurgis isn't that bad. And to be honest, it was some kind of a gift from Ingolstadt, that victory. And you may not make too much of a deal of that, but it wasn't bad. And Moussa Kone is very good, and Patrick Ebert is getting better. And I think maybe, if they're doing the right job, they're one of those candidates for making a run, of course. They have the potential, they have the home crowd, they had everything to take a good run.
Yeah, they have the makings of it. I mean, you talk about the fan support, you know, Dresden are one of the more popular teams in terms of fan support from the former east side of Germany, and yeah, I think, you know, it's a daunting stadium to go to, and I think Ingolstadt really, you know, let themselves down early on, that straight red, which, you know, if you look at the replay, it doesn't really look too much of a foul, but, you know, there's no VAR, so you can't really overturn it. And for Dresden, I think it's one of those things where you didn't really know what to make of them, but you probably felt more confident once Uwe Neuhaus was removed. And there's been some stability with Valpurgis. They've been a bit better defensively, even though they've stuck with that three at the back. And I think going forward, they're in a decent position, but probably they're just missing that little bit extra going forward, I think, to really challenge the big boys and those that are in that sort of promotional fight. Our last game of Group 2 is in Kiel. It was a 2-1 win for Holstein Kiel. Kingsley Schindler scoring his fourth goal in his last 3 games. He scored on 9 minutes. Lee Jae-sung got his first goal in some time on 33 minutes. And just to make things a little bit dicey towards the end, Fabian Schleusner scored for Sandhausen on 83 minutes. But it wasn't enough, as Kiel took a crucial home victory. Danny, we didn't know what to expect of Kiel this season under Tim Walter. We're 14 match days in. What has your impression been of Holstein Kiel, and do you think that they can still make a run at those promotional playoff spots?
I think they've improved recently. They had that cracking start of that victory against Hamburg, and everyone thought about them being straight candidate for promotion again, but I think they've not been that much holding on to that single turnout. But in recent games, I got the feeling of them improving, really, especially at home. I think they're fourth in the home table. And although I see that Sandhausen had many more shots than Kiel, I'm like, they get the results recently more than they've done before. When I think about how we've won 4-1 against them and how they now win against Sandhausen. But I think may not be that good enough for a run. But I think Tim Walter is doing a pretty cool job there. And he maybe just needs the time of that season to build a squad, to make something happen. And then next year we could see more from Kiel than this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I had them finishing 13th in Tim Walter's opening season with Kiel, and I mean, it's hard to replicate the season that they had last, where they had the likes of Dominic Drexler, Marvin Dux. They had, you know, very good defense, but they were super aggressive going forward. And I think, you know, it's taken Walter a bit of time to establish his system and footballing philosophy. And I think, you know, probably the second half of the season we might see their full potential. And yeah, we will have to wait and see with that. And in terms of Sandhausen, I mean, Fabian Schleusner continues his excellent form, and you know, he's on loan from Freiburg to the end of the season. And you'd suspect at the end of the season there will be teams going out for him. I think asking you as a Fürth fan, would you be interested in Fabian Schleusner joining De Kleeblatt?
I would most definitely be. I think he's going on loan to some second and third league teams for a few years now, and every time he's going back to Freiburg, I remember someone at Facebook or on Twitter saying that we should sign him, and we never did. And I think he's a great guy. He's got some great qualities. He's shown in League 2 and League 3, and maybe if Sandhausen will stay in the league, they I think have a chance of signing him permanently, because being on loan every season, I think he'll seek for some stability now. But if they go down, maybe some other teams have a chance in signing him. And if that's the case, I really hope for Kleeblatt making a shot at that.
Yes, he has been one of the more impressive players this season to play for Sandhausen, and I'm sure that many teams will be looking for his services at the end of the season. Speaking of Fürth, we will come back with their match day 14 review in their group three game against Magdeburg. Game in Fürth was a goal fest. Greuther Fürth coming from two goals to one down to get all 3 points in the 90th minute with a 3-2 win over Magdeburg. Daniel Caterell continued his decent goal scoring run. It is his seventh home goal of the season. He has 8 in total, but Magdeburg threw the cat amongst the pigeons. Goal from Christian Beck and Felix Lohkemper put the East German side ahead. But it wasn't to be. A story all too familiar for Magdeburg: Sean Parker's magnificent free kick on 88 minute and Richard Magyar's header from a set piece in added time, enough to give De Kleeblatt all 3 points, and Magdeburg once again sent packing with nothing. Danny, we'll look at the Fürth side of things first. Another fighting win. It's the second time they've come from a 2-1 scenario down to get a win. Your impressions on the team's performance?
To be honest, we were pretty lucky that time. I mean, like you've mentioned it, we've come from behind at Bielefeld, where we really had some good performance then, although I feel sorry for Lotte. But this time we were not that good. The whole game we made some bad tacklings. We've had not that much spirit going forward. We started really pushing the pressure on late on. I mean, like, remembering that goal from Caterell came from absolutely nothing. It was just a long ball from, I think, Tobias Moore. And we were not that good at that game. and we had some dull defending, weak tackles in defending, remembering the build up to that second goal and even more that build up to the first goal from Magdeburg. And in the end, what's really positive, although me speaking negative now, was that fighting spirit that we have all season long now, with us never giving up, fighting, and in the end, I mean, like, that's some kind of quality when you're when you've just scored the equalizer to 2-2 and then Magdeburg has a really, really good chance and then still pushing on forward to the third goal and pushing on for the victory. I mean, like, that's the quality we've shown in some mental type, but the footballing quality, to be honest, was not really good, and I think we really did not deserve to win that game, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think for good stretches, Magdeburg looked very threatening going forward. You did forget to mention that Maximilian Sauer and Vitek were both out, and you know, those two fullbacks have been really important for Fürth going forward. I mean, Tobias Moore had to play at left back, and I think we saw Marco Caligiuri was playing at right back, and you know, it's not exactly ideal. Sauer's going to come back this week for their game with Köln. It's a massive blow for Magdeburg. The psychological effects of once again blowing a 2-1 lead or a lead, it's disappointing for them. I thought Michel Oerning's first game in charge was very positive. They played some really good football going forward. They created some really good chances. I thought playing Lokamper with Christian Beck was a masterstroke. They seem to be on the same page, and I think having Dennis Erdmann, who's, you know, he may be a serial pest, but playing him at centre back was a really good thing for them. I think they, you know, gave that defensive back three some stability, and I think that they've got plenty of good things they can take away from it. But it's just another massive blow, and if they keep losing games like this, you don't really know where they can recover. You know, they've got another tough game on the weekend. They play Bochum at home, and home has not been a happy hunting ground for Magdeburg. But it will be interesting to see whether they can turn their fortunes around. From Fürth, we make the journey to Heidenheim, and a somewhat surprising result. Not surprising about the goal-scoring abilities of Paderborn, but it was a 5-1 away win for the Paderborn side against Heidenheim, and it was very, very surprising, the capitulation defensively by Heidenheim in that second half. We saw goals from Philip Clement once again. It was another free kick, another belter. Sven Mikkel scoring his first goal in some time, and Sebastian Vasilidis scoring a brace in the final 10 minutes to condemn the 5-1 result. Danny, where can we start from here? It was, you know, Heidenheim have been so strong defensively at home, and they were just absolutely torn apart.
I'm shocked. I was really in front of the TV watching their game, watching like, what is that team? That's not that Heidenheim we know from the last few seasons. I mean, like, when have they last conceded 4-5 goals? And you know that Paderborn has a great quality in striking things, and they've scored 5 goals against Köln, and you know they can score that much, but you normally expect from Heidenheim that they're really, really good in defending terms. And I mean, like, there was a point when it was 2-1 and you thought it could be a close game now, but to see them, seeing them falling apart that much is really uncommon, and I really don't know what to take from this game. But now with them playing Sandhausen, they should do better, but it was really shocking. And speaking positively now, it was a great performance from Paderborn once again, and really they have the quality and ability to beat that surprising team of the season. I mean, like the Kiel role last year, and if they continue that, they will really be entertaining to watch all season.
Yeah, for a lot of people, we've spoken, you know, quite regularly on the podcast, that they do have that Holstein Kiel element. They're explosive going forward, but they do give up a lot of chances, and they did so again without, you know, being hampered too much. I think, you look at the early stages of the game, and had Mark Schnatter scored instead of hitting the frame with a goal, maybe the game tips a different direction in favour of Heidenheim. But yeah, it's an incredible result, and Heidenheim were really the biggest losers of the match day. They dropped to 11th after being in that top six heading to the international break, and yeah, they do have Sandhausen on the weekend, and they'll look to bounce back from that. Our last game of the match day 14 review is in Bochum, and it was a stroke of maybe luck in the sense that it took another late winner to give Bochum the 2-1 victory over Auer. Pascal Testrot opening the scoring inside 2 minutes from a cross from debutant Florian Kruger, and then Rostock's new favourite son, Tommy Vilen, found the back of the net twice in the space of 20 minutes to give Bochum a 2-1 victory. It's his seventh goal of the season. And an interesting take is that when Tommy Vilen has scored for Bochum, they have taken 14 out of a possible 18 points this season. So, Danny, how impressive has Tommy Vilen been since that loan spell at Holstein Kiel?
Oh, pretty much impressive. I mean, like, that was a new signing for... like a new signing for Bochum, and he really gives the team that that kind of new spirit in offensive ways they've sometimes lacked last year. And with them again having Hinterseer at much goals but not at that much good performance, he's really some really good player. And I mean, I was in the stands at that game, and it was Auer scoring early and then building a wall. I mean, like, they had six defensive players at halftime, from halftime on. And then you need some player like Vilen who has that individual skill to decide that games on their own. And he's doing a really, really good job for quite a few time now. And he was at third at some kind, and he played good there and was inconstant. He always played good and then went invisible, but he's now keeping up, and if he does so, he will certainly be a candidate for Bundesliga next year. But in the end, it was a well-deserved win for Auer, and I think a good welcome gift for Johnny in Germany.
indeed. It was one of those where, as you'd expect from Auer, when they take the early lead, they did park the bus, essentially. They were very non-existent going forward. And credit to Bochum, who continued to press, and they eventually grabbed the winner. It means that Bochum have the best home record in the Zweite Bundesliga. They've taken 16 points at home this season, and it is a record that Robin Dutt's side will be hoping to continue. We are going to take a short break now, but please join us for them as we preview match day 15. Yes, and we begin the match day 15 preview in Köln, the cathedral city, the new home of Johnny Walsh, of course. They take on Greuther Fürth at the Mügersdorfer Stadion. Danny, as a Fürth fan, what are your hopes of getting a result in Köln on the weekend?
Oof. Let's be honest. Not conceding that much goals. I mean, like, that is a really, really ungood thing that Köln has a cracking offense and we have a defense that's cracking sometimes, and that's not good at all. I mean, like, we're in trouble against offensive teams often. I remember Ingolstadt putting on very much pressure against us in week 2, and then Union scoring 3 in the first 30 minutes. And I'm like, if we don't be really, really cautious, we have a good risk of being in some kind of Dynamo Dresden role at the Müngersdorfer Stadion, because they're a good side, a decent side either, but they have some defensive instability too. And, you know, everyone knows what's happening there. And, yeah, I hope that Maxi Vitek's going to be fine again, that our left side will be stable, and Maxi Sauer will play again, as his yellow card ban is now over, so maybe we'll be a bit more stable than against Magdeburg. But I fear that my Clover boys are doing their best to welcome Johnny in his new job really, really good.
I'm probably a little bit more optimistic of Fürth's chances. They don't have a bad record away from home. I mean, 3 wins, a draw, and 3 defeats. The issue's been finding the back of the net. They've only scored 6 times away from home this season. Only Darmstadt, Ingolstadt, and Arminia Bielefeld have scored less times. We also spoke about Daniel Cateruel, who scored 7 of his 8 goals this season at home. What has been the reason behind his struggles away from home this season?
I'm not quite sure. I think when you consider how he scores his goals at home, I mean, like, they're often... The first ones were a penalty and 2 tap-ins, but from them on, they were like counters or long balls. And yeah, maybe we don't get that much into that chances away from home. When I think about how we've won at Bielefeld, where we've scored apparently half of our away goals the whole season, we've won 3-2, and he often plays there as some kind of winger who, when the long ball is going to him, he makes he stops the ball and then looks about the other players, and he's more in an assisting role. But the problem is that we have no second Cateruel who Cateruel could assist to. Maybe Sean Parker stepping up now, but we're definitely the other players except Tobias Moore are lacking in some kind of shooting quality, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what Köln do on the other side. You know, they've played with that 3-5-2 the last 2 weeks. It's obviously worked. They've got 11 goals and only 1 conceded in those 2 games.
I don't want to know. I'm really feared of that game.
Well, I'm sure it won't be as bad as the Dresden game, but you know, if they can keep the likes of Simon Terodde in check, then they may have a chance. We will now make the journey down to Paderborn. It is a derby as SC Paderborn take on Arminia Bielefeld. It's a massive game for Bielefeld as they are so desperately needing a victory. And it's going to be a tricky one because Paderborn have that, as we've spoken about, that excellent offensive record. Danny, is there any chance that Bielefeld can sneak out of Paderborn with a result?
I mean, like, if you just watch the games the teams played, the things are clear. I think everyone would say Paderborn marching on with a 2-3, maybe even higher score. But, I mean, like, it's derby days, and that's the magic of a derby, that maybe... we've spoke about it. Paderborn is undefeated at home until now, and Bielefeld has a really bad run, and those are the days where some kind of football magic happens, and maybe Bielefeld is walking out of the win there, but I just don't know how they should do it. But yeah, I mean, like, in every prediction game I will see Paderborn winning, but I'd not be surprised if Bielefeld could do a shock over them now.
Yeah, it would be a much-needed win if they could get one over Paderborn. Offensively, it's been a real struggle for Bielefeld away from home. They've only scored 4 times. That is the least amount by any team in the Zweite Bundesliga this season. We saw them mix it up last time out with that 3-4-3 formation with Stauder playing in a wider role. You just wonder if this Bielefeld side has the quality and also the mental mindset. You know, they're in a massive rut at the moment, and they know that Paderborn are in decent form. They're coming off a massive win. We just don't know really if Bielefeld have it, I guess. and you know, it's a massive game for them. If they fall, then you really wonder if Jeff Sabina is going to maintain his role as head coach. Our final Groupon game is at the Milan Tour. It is St. Pauli versus Dynamo Dresden. St. Pauli coming off that 1-1 away from home at Regensburg. And, of course, Dresden beating Ingolstadt 2-0. Danny, St. Pauli are coming off 2-1-1 draws. Do you think they have got the goods going forward to challenge Dresden? Or do you think that the visitors may spring a surprise at the Milan Tour?
I think, and that's some quality for that game. Everything could happen. I'd not be surprised if St. Pauli win 3-0, and not be surprised if Dresden win 3-0, because both sides have been doing some pretty good games over the season, and both teams have been doing some not so good games, with St. Pauli doing better overall. And I think St. Pauli are my favorites to win, but I think that's my secret top game of the week, because they are good sides that both want to push their season into a really good season now, and now is the time to step up for a run before Christmas, and both teams have to start that run now, and then this game has everything that needed for a really, really entertaining match.
Yeah, it has the hallmarks, and you know, they kind of play in a similar way. They both like to push the ball wide, create space, spread the game out, and it's something that both teams do quite well. I'm still curious with St. Pauli. They really haven't cemented that number nine spot. They've tried Henk Vermaan, and he did score on the weekend, and he may start. He's Kalczynski's tried Diamantakos. Sami Alagui has played in that role. They haven't really cemented that down. They are going to be without Richard Neudecker. He's out until January. That's a massive loss down the left-hand side of midfield. I generally think it's going to be a really good game. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a 2-2 draw and some late magic being the difference to get the draw or even to get a late victory. Both teams play really good football, and I think it has the hallmarks to be, as Danny said, one of the underrated games of the week. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to head to our Group 2 games, starting off with Union Berlin versus Darmstadt. And yes, we are back with the Group 2 games, but before that, we have reached some news that Damir Buric of Greuther Fürth has extended his contract until 2022. Actually, sorry, 2020, my mistake. Danny, instant reactions of keeping Buric as manager.
I'm pretty happy because he's done a decent job of getting us off relegation zone, doing a good job in this season, building up a good squad, and I'm really looking forward to working with him. So I'm not working with him personally, sadly, but seeing him on the sideline from the stands for another year. And I hope that we'll improve until his reign for another year.
We can only hope for your sake. So we shall get into the action, and we are starting in Köpenick at the Forestieri. It is Union Berlin taking on Darmstadt. Union Berlin have a fantastic record at home. It is the second best in the league. Danny, I guess we should talk about Darmstadt. It's going to be a very tough day for them at the office. Is there any way they can steal a point on the weekend?
I think there indeed is, because it seems the last few weeks that they're improving, but Union is not. Although they have good players, maybe they have some struggles up front. And if Darmstadt could, and we all know Schuster can do, build a solid defensive wall, they could grab a point. But as they've improved recently, Union, since that win over Fürth, I'll think we'll see a home victory in this game, and Union keeping up the pressure against the big two.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I mean, it's going to be really tricky for Darmstadt. They've really struggled away from home. They do have the second worst away record this season. And I think Union, you know, despite the kind of troubles they've had going forward, I think Joshua Mees finally getting some games. He scored three in his last two. Sebastian Polter staying healthy is going to be critical for them. I really can't see Union not winning this game. And I think it might be a little bit too comfortable. I think in three of the four games this season, Darmstadt away from home have conceded two or more goals. Two of those were four goal efforts. So they will be tested immensely on the weekend. We make our way across the country back west as we take a look at MSV Duisburg taking on Holstein Kiel. Duisburg coming off a 1-0 victory over Arminia Bielefeld, and of course Holstein Kiel taking a 2-1 over Sandhausen. Danny, we spoke a little bit briefly about Kingsley Schindler. He has four goals in his last three games. Do we see him returning to that glistening form that he had last season?
I think so, yes. I think we all waited for him to explode again in the first 10 games of the season where he's not playing that good. But now he finally has that kind of explosive and striking quality he's shown last year, and he's done a good job, and we'll now see him back in form, I think. And if we do so, I have no doubt that Kiel will do a win at Duisburg.
Yeah, I'm liking Distorker to take the 3 points in this game. I think Duisburg have gotten a lot better under Torsten Liebknecht. But yeah, I think the quality going forward for Kiel, I think Kingsley Schindler finally getting his mojo. It's hard to go against Kiel in this fixture, and it'll be another important step in the right direction for them as they look to climb the table. Our last game of the Group 2 section is in Ingolstadt. They take on Hamburg SV. It's going to be a very interesting game, but it is top versus bottom. Ingolstadt have waited a long time for another victory. Danny, is there any way that De Schanzer surprised the masses, upsets the apple cart in any way?
I don't see any way, no. I mean, like, if we were 3 or 4 weeks earlier, I'd say yes, Hamburg has some instability. You can hurt them, but it looks like they're stable now. They had that win in Magdeburg against a difficult team. They've won against Köln. And Ingolstadt is doing a really, really, really bad job. I mean, like, look at their squad. Who have they got? They got some people, you could say, who could challenge for promotion. And they're really doing so bad. And I can't see them having the quality for a good relegation fight. And I think they'll lose again, that will be a very one-sided match, I think.
Yeah, they've been the perennial underachievers of this season. They built a squad to challenge the playoff spots, and they've really failed in every single level. They're really incompetent going forward, and then with that comes their defensive inefficiencies. It is going to be really hard, especially against this Hamburg side, who have been surprisingly defensively fantastic away from home, with the only two goals conceded, which is by far and away the best defensive record. It's going to be hard. I think the interesting thing will be to see who will start up front again for Hamburg. We did see Hwang Hee-chan get the start versus Union Berlin, whether he starts or does Hannes Wolf trust the 18-year-old wunderkid Jan Vita up. We're going to take another quick break as we preview the last three games in our Group 3 fixtures, starting in Magdeburg. Yes, and we do start in Magdeburg. They take on VfL Bochum. Bochum coming off a come-from-behind win against fellow East Germans Erzgebirger Aue. Magdeburg once again falling short, just a few minutes short of victory, being beaten by Danny's Furt. Danny, you know, Magdeburg, we spoke about them at the start of the season, having that really strong home support. They're the only team this season yet to win at home. What do you think's gone wrong for them this season at home? And is there any way that Michel Herning can turn it around?
Honestly, I have no explanation what's going on there. I really expected them to have a good home run. I really thought that they will have to be a dominant home side to manage to survive in the league. And I think it's incredible that they are the only team to not win a single home game. Maybe, I think the only possible explanation is that the pressure is too high for them. But I think most of the players have played in League 3 in that stadium, but I don't know. And now comes Bochum, one of the informed teams. But on the other side, Bochum is, I think, a home team mostly. They've just won one game away from home, I think.
Yep.
So that's also a good candidate for an upset now.
Yeah, it could be. But I think Bochum, you know, they're playing some decent football. I think, you know, I think if you go back to midway through last season when Robin Dutt took over, there were many question marks whether he had the motivation or was the right person for the job. And I think he's answered those critics in spades. And, you know, it's funny, they kind of remind me of the Freiburg side that he led to Europe. They're very organised defensively. They've got some very skilled wide players, two strong players in midfield and in Lasella and Tesche, and they've got a nice squad. I think that's the one thing you could say about Bochum, is they've got a really nice squad, but they it almost feels like they're one or two players away from really being that squad that could challenge for those top three. And I think you know, as a result, I think they will win against Magdeburg, but it'll be a game where they will have to. They'll have to be on their guard, because I think Magdeburg showed some really good energy against Fürth. They played with a great spirit and a desire for the contest. But I think the Ruhr side will take the 3 points in Magdeburg. We turn on to, we stay in East Germany, the east side of Germany, in Saxony, as Erzgebirge Aue take on Jahn Regensburg. Regensburg have been the surprising team away from home this season. They are the fourth best team in that regard. They have scored the most goals away from home this season with 18. Five of those did come against Hamburg, of course, but it is no mean feat from a side that really struggled away from the Continental Arena. I guess this is a reverse question to the Magdeburg one. Regensburg have been great away from home. What have you seen differently from them compared to last season?
I have no explanation for that, but in this form, it's a positive. And I was against Aue in the stadium against Bochum, and they were really defensive. So Regensburg, who have scored 18 goals away from home, which is the league leading number, if they score against Aue, I think they have a good chance to just add another away victory, and that with that victory they could put on pressure against Union Berlin. So if they keep up that spirit, I really can't explain, sadly, they have a chance of another surprising team.
Yeah, I'm backing Regensburg as well. I mean, they really play an inviting style of football under Achim Bielotze. And I think the worry with Aue is they get really defensive, and they try so desperately not to open the game up. And once the game becomes that, it's a real trouble for them. And I think Daniel Meyer, you know, you'd love him to be a bit more inventive for his side going forward, but it almost seems like an Aue way where they just, you know, if they score early, they kind of shut up shop, and they try so desperately to hold on. And I don't think that's going to be enough against this Regensburg side, which have been so strong away from home. It's going to be very difficult for them. And yeah, we shall see. But, you know, I think it's fair to say that Regensburg will come in as favourites. Our last, but certainly not least, in the Matchday 15 preview, comes from Sandhausen. They take on Heidenheim. Both teams coming off defeats. Heidenheim, obviously, the heavier of the two. Danny, a response is definitely needed. What do you expect from this one?
Honestly, not that much. We've talked about it, and that Sandhausen has a 4-6 goals ratio in home games in their 6 games. And like, there have been only 10 goals for Sandhausen home games the whole season. And that's really less. And I think maybe we'll see another 0-0 or 1-1. But if I had to choose a side to win 1-0, it's Heidenheim, because... and I think I've mentioned that one in the podcast more than once, but they have that Schnatterer magic factor. And if they get an 80th minute free kick from 30 meters out, maybe that will be the game winner. That would be some kind of things you could imagine from Heidenheim.
Yes, that Mr. Heidenheim has a knack of popping up at the right time. That being said, though, Sandhausen have become a bit more open-minded under Uwe Koshinat. But yeah, I tend to agree. If I was to pick a side to win this game, I would definitely back Frank Schmidt's side to get the points in Sandhausen. We, of course, have our fan questions, and we only have the one this week. And it, of course, it is from our regular listener, Steel Penguin, at Steel Penguin 3. Once again, we thank you for your question. He has two questions for us, in fact. The first one is there much action in the January transfer window? And the second one is, what teams are best situated to make a run during the second half of the season? Danny, do you expect much action during the transfer window, maybe speaking on behalf of Fürth?
Honestly not. I think like Fürth and most other teams have a maybe solid squad. You could see some work from like Magdeburg, of course, obviously. Maybe Sandhausen, maybe Bielefeld. But I think in second league, you don't see that spectacular transfers in the January window in most times. In the last year, to be honest, Fürth has rebuilt their squad nearly in the half of signing much players and then selling much players. But I think this year will be a quiet zone. And those teams who could spend big in the window of Hamburg, of Köln, of Berlin, of St. Pauli are already in a good position, so they don't need to spend big. So maybe I think we will get a quiet window, but I may be surprised. Maybe Dresden or Kiel could imagine to add up to their squad to... And that leading to the second question, start a run.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, if any team makes a big move, I mean, the first situation you think of is, well, it's a panic buy. They're clearly, you know, unsure whether they've got the squad going forward. I do agree with Danny that teams in that bottom six will certainly look for it. You'd add Ingolstadt most definitely will be looking for a striker who can, you know, hit the target, unlike a Dario Lescano, who's been, you know, borderline atrocious. Those teams certainly will be looking to improve, especially going forward as well as defensively. A lot of teams have needs, but I think you look at teams like Hamburg, even your Bochums, it's very unlikely that many of them will make too many moves. Maybe they'll make a couple, you know, just to shore up the squad, but nothing major. The second question, Danny, who do you think is best suited to make a run in the second half of the season?
I'll go for Paderborn or Bochum, because Paderborn has that great offensive skills that we've mentioned it. Kiel showed last year to have some spectacular wins, and this can really add a psychology effect of we can win big to the squad. And with them being just 1 point behind third, oh no, 3 points behind third, they're really good already, and they can really add a run. And of course Bochum, because just remember how many points they've lost in the last minute against Fürth, against Kiel, against Regensburg. If you add up all those points, they'd be first in the league right now. And if they start to finish off those games, or even win games in the last minute like they did against Aue, they're in a really, really good position to be a surprising upset to the league. So I'll go with the two North Rhine-Westphalia teams, Paderborn and Bochum, for a great run.
I will go with Jan Regensburg. You know, they've really impressed me this season. Johnny and I both them had them as one of our surprise teams this season, and they've continued to do so. I really like what they're doing going forward. I like the fact that they've become more confident away from the Continental Arena. I think that's a massive positive for them. You know, they relied on their home form to survive, even though, you know, to survive essentially. But yeah, I really like their squad. They've got a really good mix of experience and youth. And I think the way they're playing, they have a really good chance to make a run in the second half of the season. That is all the time we have for today's program. We thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy your Zweite Liga footballing action. And auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye.